وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب for your beautiful دعاء that you always make for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuing with the discussion on one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, our mother Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her generosity was also very, very well known. The most distinguishing quality of her character was her generosity and open-handedness. Both sisters, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, were noble-minded and generous. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I have not seen anyone more generous and charitable than these two. The difference between the two was that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to collect small amounts, and once a considerable amount was collected, she would distribute it in charity. On the other hand, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha would immediately distribute whatever she had. She would not store it. This is why she used to remain in debt most of the time. Hazrat Ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu once sent two big bags of money containing 100,000 dirhams to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She placed this amount in a large tray and began distributing it until all was finished. Coincidentally, she was fasting on that day in the evening. She was fasting on that day, and in the evening she asked a slave girl to bring her food to open the fast. So the slave girl said, O Ummul Mu'mineen, could you not have bought some meat from the money which you had? So she replied, Do not scold me now. Why did you not remind me at that time when I was distributing the money? Subhanallah, what abstinence and piety. Hazrat Urwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu also sent 100,000 dirhams to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha on one occasion. By Allah, she had distributed the entire amount by the evening. Her slave girl said to her, If only you had set aside one dirham from this large amount and bought some meat for us. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Why did you not remind me? Atta radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent a necklace which was valued about 100,000 dirhams to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She distributed it amongst the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Urwa rahimahullah narrates from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that she gave 70,000 dirhams in charity while her dress had patches in it. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with her. If only we men and women could also practice on these sunnahs, even if we could do just a fraction of what they did, it will be something. Hazrat Abu Musa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, whenever we, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encountered any difficulty in understanding something, we would ask Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha about it. We would certainly learn something or the other from her. There were some profound statements that she made. She used to say, "If only I was a leaf of a tree." This statement demonstrates her extreme humility and self-effacement. She wrote to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "When a person disobeys Allah ta'ala, those who have been praising him begin criticizing him." She used to say, "You cannot present yourself before Allah ta'ala with anything better than a small number of sins." The person who would like to surpass those who are bearing difficulties in carrying out acts of worship and those who are striving in this regard must restrain himself from committing sins. Maulana Sayyid Suleiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali has written a detailed work titled Sirati Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha on her knowledge, her a'mal, and her pure life. It is worth reading this book. And he writes, "Even when there was a servant in the house, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would personally carry out the tasks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She would grind the flour, make it into dough, cook the food, make the bed, and place the wudu water. On seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing the chaash salah, the mid-morning optional nafil salah, she also began performing it. She used to say, 'Even if my father got up from his grave and stopped me from performing it, I would not stop.'" Hazrat Amiri Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala once wrote to her and asked her for some advice. So she replied as follows, "Assalamu alaikum. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, 'When a person does not bother about the displeasure of people and is concerned about Allah's pleasure, Allah saves him, safeguards him from the ill effects of people's displeasure.'" Listen to this again. "When a person does not bother about the displeasure of people and is concerned about Allah's pleasure, Allah Ta'ala safeguards him from the ill effects of people's displeasure. And when a person displeases Allah Ta'ala and he seeks the pleasure of people, then Allah Ta'ala leaves him to the people. Allah does not bother about him. Wassalamu alaikum." This advice ought to be written in gold. Unfortunately, our practice today is totally against this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us refuge. Ibn Abi Asaib Tabi'i was an orator of Medina Munawwara. In order to arouse an assembly, and orators are in the habit of composing rhyme du'as and reading them in their assemblies, and in order to display their greatness, they are forever ready to deliver talks wherever they get an opportunity. So as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha addressed him saying, "Make three promises to me or else I will forcefully interrogate you." So he replied, "O Ummul Mu'mineen, what are they?" So she said, "Do not make rhyme du'as, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions did not do this. Deliver just one talk a week. If you do not accept this, then two talks a week. If you want to deliver more than this, then three a week and no more. Do not cause the people to become weary of the Quran. When you see people seated in a place, do not interrupt them by starting your lecture amongst them. Instead, deliver a talk when they desire it and request you." Regarding Adimais, the latter part of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala's khilafat was the latter part of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and her life. She was 67 years old at the time. She fell ill in Ramadan, the year 58 Hijri, and remained sick for a few days. When anyone asked her how she was feeling, she would reply, "I am well." So those who came to visit her would give her glad tidings, but she would reply, "I wish I was a rock. I wish I was a plant in a jungle." So Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala sought permission to visit her. She hesitated because she feared he might come and praise her. When her nephews interceded on his behalf, she gave him permission. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala came in and said, "Your name was Ummul Mu'mineen since eternity. You are the most beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you have so much of hesitation to meet your companions that your soul might depart from your body. Allah Ta'ala gave permission to perform tayammum through you. Verses in reference to you were revealed in the Quran. These verses are now read by night and day from every pulpit and in every masjid. She said, O Ibn Abbas, excuse me from such praises. I would rather be completely non-existent. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. By virtue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attention and blessings, and by virtue of remaining in his company, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reached such a high level of self-effacement that she did not even think about the absolute and certain merits and virtues which she possessed. In fact, she could not even bear listening to any words of praise. She was one of the pure wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She lived night and day for a certain period of time in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed company. Why then would she not acquire such ranks? Any Sahabi who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just once while believing in him was far beyond the awliya and aqtab, the plural of kutub, who came thereafter. In fact, whatever position and rank which the later Sufis and awliya acquired, they did so by virtue of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away on the 17th Ramadan in the year 58 Hijri, corresponding with June 678. She passed away at night after the Witr Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. She was known as Hibrul Ummah, the ocean of knowledge. And as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha dedicated her life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she was very, 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 very humble in her approach. She had an exceptionally good character, and she was the daughter of Siddiq Akbar, of Siddiq, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, the great friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and who accompanied Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the hijrah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise her in rank and shower his choicest blessings on her. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.